Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast, it's all me. That's right, nothing but Pod Vader from here to the end. It's week 15 in the NFL. All bets are off, and it's time to see who's the king in the AFC. Here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the Force is With Me edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Pod Vader. The Force is with me because it's Star Wars week, and you've got nothing but Pod Vader on today's show. That's right. I'm going to be talking with Matt Williamson here in just a little bit, our old buddy there from the Locked On Sports Network, talking about the Patriots and Steelers, the battle for the AFC. It's going down, and it's going to happen in Pittsburgh this week. We're going to talk about that game, plus some of the other playoffs. Implications going on in the AFC. My boyfriends all of a sudden are making some noise there in the AFC as the third seed, and they could possibly be even higher. So you're going to want to listen to our conversation about that. And then the Thursday night preview. Our super fans for the Broncos and the Colts have gone MIA, so I give you the full breakdown and preview of the Thursday night matchup. You're going to want to check out what I have to say about this particular game, because I've been wrong about every single Thursday night game. I'm pretty sure I've picked the wrong team to win every week so far this Thursday on Thursday nights. So I'm pretty sure I did it again. So tune in a little bit later on, find out who I did pick. In the meantime, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, AHA Radio, anywhere great podcasts are heard. Leave us a review. We want to hear from you. Leave us a review. That really helps people find the show, and we've got plenty more shows to come. We're going right through the Super Bowl and all through the offseason. We're doing shows, so we need your help to help grow our audience. And why do we need more help to grow our audience? So that we can get more things like this for you. The Harry shaving has been around for a while. I've been using it now for a few months, and I love it. I can't get enough of that ultra clean shave that I get when I use Harry's. And of course, you know what I really love the most about Harry's is the man-smelling facial shave gel. That's right. I can't get enough of that stuff because, frankly, I've been using the raspberry cream stuff for way too long, and I don't need any more of that raspberry cream. So I've been using Harry's. I've been using their shave cream, and it's been fantastic for me. And of course, during this holiday season, what makes a better gift than a shaving kit from Harry's? Every guy's got to shave, unless they're growing out some weird facial hair that no one's ever seen before in their life. They all got to shave, and they all got to trim, even if they've got a full beard. Trust me, I know. I've seen it. My dad used to have a big hairy beard on his face. Everybody's got to shave, and that's why a gift from Harry Shaving would do you the best this holiday season. And we're offering you a special deal right now. All you got to do is go to harrys.com/nextfanup. That's harrys.com/nextfanup. And we're going to hook you up. That's right. It doesn't get better than this, folks. I mean, seriously, we're going to get you a gift set. And all you got to do is to get $5 off your order is go to harrys.com/nextfanup and make your order. There's gift sets that start at just 10 bucks. So that's already half off right there. They've got other great stocking stuffers, including the limited edition winter chrome and emerald green handles. Personalize those with some engraving. Great gift idea this holiday season. Go to harrys.com/nextfanup right now. This holiday, give Harry's, give Handsome, get your holiday shopping done early, take advantage of the free shipping that's going on right now, too. All of this happens while supplies last. harrys.com/nextfanup. That's harrys.com/nextfanup. All right, let's talk with Matt Williamson. And so I've been saving my request to have this guest on the show until it was necessary, and I did expect that this was going to be a little bit more exciting than what it turned out to be, because I thought that the Patriots and the Steelers were going to go into this week tied with the exact same record, and M-Dub's team, Matt Williamson, for those of you who don't know who Matt Williamson is, he's the former scout, the podcaster extraordinaire, joining us here on the show. And a big Steelers fan. His team got the job done. However, the Patriots did not, stumbling against the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. It's crazy, M-Dub. What is going on with the NFL this season?
Yeah, it's funny because I also do a lot of work now for Steelers Nation Radio. I have a daily show where we're down at the facility, and I'm involved with the team quite a bit of late. And the big news around here was very different than how you just portrayed things. And that was before the Monday Nighter was, boy, the Steelers offense looks good. It's finally coming into form. We've been expecting this all year. That's about right. But the defense is a nightmare. Joe Flacco just walked up and down the field on you guys. Brady's going to score 80 points against the Steelers. And so, on many radio venues yesterday, I pretty much started saying, man, Wentz went down. Steelers D is falling apart. Who's the king of the NFC right now? The more I look at things, I think that the league stands New England, Gap, then a bunch of other good teams. And then they go get beat last night. I didn't see that coming. I mean, they've had 4 out of 5 road games. They always play poorly in Miami. Certainly wasn't Brady's best day, playing with a lot of backups, particularly on defense. But still, we knew all those things, and I thought they would, win that game by 2 touchdowns and be the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts on that Monday night game, you mentioned one of them, the number of backups. It does finally seem that the next man up theme that the Patriots have always lived by, that credo, finally caught up in this particular game. I do wonder how much of the lack of practice Brady had going into this game affected him, because his mechanics did seem off. And I wonder if that's actually a combination of the lack of practice and whatever injury he's being treated for, this reported Achilles, quote unquote.
Exacerbate that, you had Hogan coming back and he looked really rusty. I mean, he was a non-factor, and no Gronk.
Yep. So, I mean, the recipe was there. And I actually last week on the podcast mentioned the Patriots historically stink in Miami, especially at this point of year. It's on Monday Night Football. I really don't like the recipe. I really don't see an 11-point victory. That was the point spread going in. And I allowed the other super fans to talk me out of it. And I don't know why, but everything was there. The recipe was there, and just didn't see it happening. And now it happened. And now we're left in this position where this game is extremely important for the Patriots, probably just as important for the Steelers. I mean, every game is important, but the Steelers have clinched their division. They're probably going to have the 1 or the 2 spot, but to guarantee the 1 spot, they got to win this week.
Yes, and it's gotten to the point here where Steelers fans have a Patriots complex. It's jealousy. It's looking up to the big brother. It's the only organization I've ever seen that where the Steelers look that way. And if it's the fan base, I'm not saying it's the players, but it's the fan base. It's Steeler Nation. Because they've had their number. I mean, they've been the better team over the Belichick Brady era. And really, like, all the work when I was up in Latrobe at training camp, all we talked about was, well, the Steelers are obviously going to win the division. That's a foregone conclusion. We don't have to talk about those things. All that matters is this upcoming game, because that'll determine where the AFC championship game is played. That's all anyone cares about around here. And that's all they've cared about basically since they got eliminated from the AFC championship game last year. I mean, that's a big deal, but I don't know that that's the end all be all. I'm more concerned with how each team are playing at the time than where it's at, but that certainly is a big deal. Roethlisberger, the offense has been much better at home historically, and the Steelers definitely don't want to go to New England.
So when looking ahead at sort of the playoff scenarios, Steelers Patriots are this week. If the Steelers win, that gives them a 2-game advantage over the Patriots and the Jaguars. The Jaguars sitting at 9-4 now all of a sudden become a bigger player in terms of getting that first week bye. the Steelers and the Patriots have very favorable schedules afterwards. You're facing the T.J. Yates led Houston Texans and the Cleveland Browns. The Patriots will have Nate Five Picks Peterman and Bryce Hackenberg. And I'm calling it Bryce Hackenberg because who knows if it'll be Petty or Hackenberg in that last game of the season to finish out the year. The Jaguars become a little bit more interesting. The Jaguars schedule to finish out the season, they will have the TJ Yates led Texans this week. Then they're at the 49ers and then they're at the Titans. And so that game,
game could be big.
New Year's Eve is a huge one.
Yes. However, I've been Titans fans hate me right now. If you recall back when we used to do podcasts, Chiefs fans hated me. Right now, Titans fans hate me because I've been saying they've been a fraud all year. I think they're the worst, clearly over 500 team in the league that I've seen in a while. They showed it in Arizona. The more I look at the AFC, I don't think they're deserving. I mean, I think the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, two of those teams are going to end up getting in as opposed to Tennessee. So I'm not sure Tennessee-Jacksonville is going to mean a ton.
What's the hunch? How's Tennessee finishing out the season here? Tennessee.
At San Fran, host the Rams. That looks like 1-1 to me, and then going to Jacksonville.
That looks like 0-2 to me, my friend. Jimmy G is the real deal. He's going to He's going to keep screwing up the 49ers draft pick here. That's probably the only downfall of Jimmy G, but we're getting off track. This is supposed to be about the Patriots and the Steelers. One of the things that I've noted with the Patriots defense and sort of where they made that turnaround is they gave Stephon Gilmore a couple weeks off in the concussion protocol. And again, I'm putting quotes around concussion protocol in dealing with whatever that vacation was for Stephon Gilmore. And it looked like they simply got rid of all the complicated zone defensive stuff that they try to do and went strictly man-to-man. And then last night, it looked like they still tried to stay man-to-man with Butler and Gilmore, but they were still trying to introduce a lot of different zone concepts with the safeties. They didn't have enough linebackers. They were only playing two natural linebackers pretty much for the whole game, going with the three safety alignment. It seems like they outsmarted themselves again last night on defense. But again, you mentioned it, there were a lot of backups in there too. Eric Lee looked great against his former team in Buffalo, did nothing against the Miami Dolphins. That's sort of my concern right now is Matt Patricia, is Bill Belichick outsmarting themselves when it comes to the personnel that they have on that squad?
I think you're being a little rough just because no Trey Flowers. Van Noy has played a ton of snaps. Their front seven is really light on athleticism, difference makers. I don't know what the right answer is there in terms of personnel of who do you want on the field. With the exception of the big defensive tackle types on throwing downs and a couple of those guys that are promising. But I think Flowers not being there was big. Obviously, I think Hightower's been a big loss, although the defense has been very good leading up to the last night. And I do think that you're right, that they really are at their best when you invested a lot in the secondary, you play a lot of man coverage. Last year, Big Nickel was really their base with three nice safeties, and I think that's a good look for them overall. McCourty can do everything. Chung is your linebacker / tight end coverage guy. But the big people in the linebackers are just really lacking in talent.
Well, and as we look ahead to how this defense is going to match up against that Steelers offense, I'm not quite sure which receiver Butler and Gilmore will be assigned to. A lot of people obviously thinking back to that Pizza Hut commercial where Malcolm Butler gets burned by Antonio Brown quite a bit, but I'm not necessarily sure that that's the matchup I want to see. I think I'd rather see Gilmore on Brown than Butler on Brown, but
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Just how they historically do it. And you know this, but it seems like smaller, shiftier number ones get Butler. Big, long AJ Green guys get Gilmore or whoever was before him, you know, Rowe or Ryan, you know. So my hunch is Butler on AB. But the big talk around here is, what's the one thing Belichick wants to take away most? Is it Bell or Brown? And I think last year going into the AFC Championship game, it was Bell. And then he got hurt very early in the game. I think it's Brown now, though. I mean, the Steelers are throwing the ball really well. That I would think it's Butler with a lot of help on Brown and Gilmore with a nice advantage over Martavis or Juju.
Well, that's going to be the thing. Can they afford to give all that help with Brown? Because you do have more than just two wide receivers that can be effective against that secondary. And you have to worry about Bell, and the Patriots don't necessarily have the pieces in place to take care of Bell. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and assume Trey Flowers and Kyle Van Noy will be back for this game. However, I am a little concerned because Patrick Chung got banged up at the end of the game on special teams and seemed to be limping. That would be a big loss in terms of helping out both in the passing game and keeping Bell to maybe, you know, 100 yards or less.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, Steelers have a very good offensive line, which has been better in protection than it's been in the running game. But they run the ball well, I mean, to say the least. And Bell, going into last week, he was like 10th in the league in receptions, not just running backs. I mean, in the league. And AB was one. And if, you know, I think the best way to attack the Patriots defense is on the ground and running back passes. I mean, they're amongst the worst in the league at allowing running back receptions. And like I mentioned, there's not a lot of athleticism at linebacker. So who guards Bell when you split him out wide? You know, I think you'll see a lot of that where you'll have Bell, a tight end, three receivers, and they really like Juju, and he was missed last week. So it'll be Juju at the slot, AB one side, Bryant on the other, and with Bell and James. But then Ben goes in the shotgun, detaches Bell, and somebody has to follow him. And that really makes doubling AB tough, and it puts a linebacker probably on Bell, which is really favorable for Pittsburgh.
Well, my hope would be that it's Van Noy that's going to be on Bell, because I wouldn't
get cartwheels over that.
Well, no, and I'm not. I was going to couch that by saying it's a better matchup than a Landon Roberts, that's for sure.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean that's really the thing. And if Patrick Chung is a no-go for this week, that's where all those matchups happen. And you mentioned Juju Smith-Schuster, and I think that's the X factor in this game. If Juju's healthy,
he's healthy. He was just suspended. I mean,
Well then there you go. So I don't know which third corner, whether it's Jonathan Jones or Johnson Bademosi, that can cover him, and I don't think either of them can. And not effectively, at least.
And to take it a step further, the Patriots fans won't like, Jesse James is a very average, or I mean, really, he should be a second string guy. But McDonald has some ability. He's just always been hurt. I don't know if he'll play or not. But the one thing about James is Ben has gotten much better as the season's gone on at trusting the non-AB guys. You know, like last week, James is open all the time because of all the other weapons that he dumps it to him, and he caught like 8, 9, 10 balls. So if Chung is out, it's not like Jesse James is going to kill you. And I'm sure Belichick would take it. Hey, you can beat us with Jesse James, because he really isn't that good, right? But he's open and he moves the chains, and Ben will dump it to him because he's always wide open. Nobody covers the guy anymore.
So let's flip it to the other side.
You're going to like everything I say about this side.
Well, and I was going to say Gronk is back. Let's assume Brady recovers to his Bradiness. And then you have the Steelers, who like to just play that zone defense that the Patriots own every single time.
Yes. And let's talk about that first, because all we talked about this offseason, even Keith Butler, the defensive coordinator, the exact words out of his mouth were, we have to play more man coverage if we're going to play the Patriots. You know, like, it's been a priority here this past off season, even with drafting Burns. Burns is much better as a press corner, long, traditional type corner. Hayden was a man corner guy that can do both. However, thus far, they've played more zone than pretty much any team in the league. According to Pro Football Focus, they're the number one or number 32, however you want to say it, because it's worked. Well, it did up until a couple weeks ago, you know, that they were fast, athletic. For the majority of the year, they have faced very poor quarterbacks. Like, even when they played the Packers, it was Hundley. Even when they played the Colts, it was Brissett. You know, like, they've avoided all the good quarterbacks, basically, except for Matthew Stafford, who carved them up. So they played a lot of zone, and for the first three quarters of the year, it worked really well. And Hayden's out, and they just haven't played a lot of man. So will they go to man now? Like, to me, the defense is in such disarray, mostly because of the Shazier injury, but also the second corner situation with Hayden out is really bad. The safeties are playing really poorly. That I almost think, what do you have to lose? At least disrupt these guys at the line of scrimmage. They practiced it a ton in the preseason and the offseason. They just haven't used it because they keep winning. So I wonder if they flip the script with how they play on defense, because, oh my God, are they bad on defense right now? I mean, Joe Flacco looked like a superstar, and they have problems everywhere.
So do we see a shootout coming?
I don't know how it can't be. I mean, unless the weather's awful or...
I'm looking at the weather report right now. It's actually going to be a little bit warmer at 42 degree high, mostly cloudy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking outside and there's a little bit of snow in the ground, but it's not bad. I mean, it's, I don't know how it won't be. I mean, we talked about it in detail when the Patriots have, or when the Steelers have the ball, but when the Patriots have the ball, the Steelers inside linebackers without Shazier are so slow and shouldn't be on the field. So I expect the Patriots to come out with heavy personnel, all including Gronk, who's back, of course, and then go and put Brady in the shotgun and detach Burkhead and detach Gronk and have guys like Sean Spence and Vince Williams and Arthur Motes, who's an outside linebacker playing inside, go try to cover those guys. And Brady will pick them apart to no end.
Yeah, I was a little surprised in the Miami game that the Patriots didn't utilize that running back core a little bit more to their advantage, with more screens, a lot more dump offs. Let Dion, let James White, let Burkhead make all the plays. I'm also a little surprised that they keep Gillislee inactive. I don't know if they're saving him or what's going on there. He's clearly in some sort of doghouse.
My take on that was, when he's in the game, it's almost always a run. And I don't think they like that predictability. And because I like Burkhead so much, I think he's just more valuable. You know, and you don't want to have four running backs active on game day.
Yeah, that's probably
more of a numbers game. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to take... I mean, the Patriots have to win. The only way the Patriots get the first round bye and the number one seed is if they beat the Steelers. If they don't beat the Steelers, then they have no shot at the number one seed. And it won't be locked up mathematically, but it's essentially locked up for the Steelers if they win this week. So I have to take this. I have to take the Patriots just on hopes and dreams. But we all know what hopes and dreams and unicorns get you: a lot of nothing.
I'll probably take the Patriots as well. Although, you know, I was watching the Monday nighter, the Steelers, or no, the Sunday nighter, the Braven Steelers, texting my buds, all Steelers fans. And I'm like, I'll give any of you the Steelers plus 10. The New England's going to put up 55 and Ben will put up 30, you know. But then I watched last night and I'm like, well, this team's a lot more vulnerable than I thought. But I still think it's going to be like first one to 50. And I just trust the Patriots to beat the Steelers, no matter where they play it, no matter what the circumstances are.
Well, good. I like to hear that.
As a Patriots fan, who do you least want to see in the, assuming the Steelers and the Patriots end up with a bye, who is your least exciting opponent for the divisional round? Chargers, Jags, Titans, Chiefs. Who do you not want to see?
The Miami Dolphins.
Right in Miami.
Honestly, there isn't any other team. I mean, the Jaguars defensively, they have the number one defense. That could be a little bit scary. But again, it's Blake Bortles. And I don't know
Brady
if I can trust
him a lot in that game, though.
Yeah. So, the Chiefs, it would be good to play them again. They seem to have lost a lot of the mojo they had that first week. And I still feel like that game turns on a lot of Stephon Gilmore just not knowing what the heck he was supposed to do in that game. You mentioned the Titans. I'm a little concerned about the development of Marcus Mariota, who seems to have forgotten the fact that his name is Mariota, not Moto. Buffalo Bills, I'm not worried about them. Yeah. The Ravens are an interesting one, quite frankly.
Ravens always play the Patriots tough.
That's the one team that I think could be a wild card in all of this. The Patriots already played the Chargers. I'm not concerned about the Chargers. So it really would be, besides the Steelers, it would be the Ravens. The Ravens would be the one wild card in all of this that sort of, you know, you're not exactly sure which Ravens team is going to show up. And if it's the good one, you're in trouble. And if it's the bad one, you're going to make them look really bad.
You don't mention the Chargers, though. I think the Chargers are playing as well.
Played the Chargers. I'm not worried. We played the Chargers. We beat them. We beat them good. I'm not worried about the Chargers.
Yeah, I would be. I think they're playing really well. They have a veteran quarterback. They can run. They can pass. They rush the passer. I think if I were you, Jacksonville would be low on my list, though, just because Tom's 40, and boy, he hates getting hit more than ever, and he would get hit a lot in that game, even if the Jags don't score any points.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a good thing. That's for sure. I kept yelling at my TV screen, put Ted Karras back in, because Dave Andrews was certainly struggling last night on that offensive line, and Karras didn't seem to have the same problems. I don't care how inexperienced he was at the center position. Put him back in.
Yeah. You're right. I can't argue that.
All right, M-Dub, where can people find you?
I am at Williamson NFL. I am hosting the Locked On NFL podcast. I'm going to record that next. I'm writing all over the place. You know, just check me out on Twitter.
Yeah, I got to go.
Nation Radio.
I got to do a breakdown of this Indy Denver game.
Indy Denver game.
Yeah, you know, the Thursday night game. We like to preview those on Wednesdays. So I guess we're gonna
do that on Thursdays too. But I forgot who was upcoming. We're gonna give it
a little bit of lip service because you know our super fans for those teams have seemed to have disappeared as they probably should have.
Yeah, I had a lot of Denver fans giving me a hard time early in the year because I was rough on them, but I was very right. They stink.
All right, M-Dub. Thanks for breaking down this one. Have a good one.
You too, dude. I'll see you.
All right. As you heard me tease with Matt Williamson, here is the Denver Broncos at the Indianapolis Colts. I don't know where our super fans have disappeared to. Dan and Louis have both sort of gone MIA on me. So you're stuck with Pod Vader giving you a breakdown of the Thursday night game, which quite honestly is a snoozer in a week where almost literally every game has some sort of playoff implication to it. This is a game that has zero playoff implications. It does have NFL draft implications, though. Indianapolis currently would be picking third in the NFL draft. They're not going to want to win. However, they are the home team. That usually gives them a home field advantage. Not so fast, my friend. Denver is currently a 2.5-point favorite, according to Vegas. So let's look at some of the things that could break this all down. Indianapolis will be playing Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. Jacoby's had a pretty decent year, despite the fact that the Colts haven't won very many games, but 11 touchdowns, 7 picks. It's doable. Let's put it this way: compared to the 12 touchdowns, 13 picks that Trevor Siemian has thrown, I would take Jacoby Brissett over Trevor Siemian. Jacoby's also thrown for more yards. I can't do the quick math on completion percentage as I'm not currently looking at that particular stat. So there's that. Frank Gore, the old man, coming off of that snowball game where he had to carry the rock quite a bit. I did read an article on ESPN.com that now that the Colts are officially out of the playoff race at 3-10, they should consider a youth movement in these last games to sort of judge where they're going to be for next year. To that degree, Chuck Pagano says he's not currently worried about his job. He feels good. While he does have the out that Andrew Luck, not the quarterback of this team, I'm not quite so sure I'd feel all that confident about my job security if I was Chuck Pagano. All of that said, this is a game that really is a snoozer. I mean, the most interesting thing about this game is going to be the fact that they're both going to be wearing colors, because this is a color rush game. Denver will be in all orange. Indy will not be in camouflage. They'll be wearing all blue, unless they decide to change their turf to being all blue. Looking at where this game is statistically, even though Marlon Mack will most likely get more of the carries, or we expect to see Marlon Mack get most of the carries, you're not really going to run on Denver. Both these teams 1-5 in their last five. However, the Colts' last win was November 5th. The Broncos was just last week, where they blanked the Jets at Mile High. I mean, flip a coin. I mean, I've been wrong with my Thursday night pick pretty much all season long. So why stop being wrong now? I'm actually going to take the Colts in an upset to beat the Denver Broncos. They are playing at home. I do think that if they go with the youth movement, they have a lot more to play for than the veteran-laden Denver Bronco team does at this particular point in time. So give me the Indianapolis Colts, and they're the underdogs, so I'm getting points. Give me the points, and I'm going to take the Colts. So there you go. That's the show today. Hope you enjoyed it. If you missed out on hearing actual fans talk about their teams, even though you heard that with the Patriots-Steelers commentary at the beginning of the show, send us those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. We want to hear from you. We want you to get involved with the show as much as you possibly can. So that's the easiest way, nextfanup@gmail.com. You could tweet us at NFU Podcast. We're active on Twitter, especially during the game, so you can always tweet at us. And if you follow our Twitter stream, you'll find out what all of the individual superfans' Twitter handles are, and then you can tweet directly at them. And that's always a lot of fun. So at NFU Podcast, the Twitter, on Facebook, you can read all of our previews. Well, actually, we're not putting previews on Facebook anymore. But you can get all of our podcasts there, and we'd love to interact with you there if that's your social media place of choice, facebook.com/NFU podcast, or you can just search Next Fan Up on Facebook. Our page will come right up for you. I'm at The Real Pod Vader on Twitter if you just want to interact directly with me. I'm certainly okay with that. So all lots of ways to get in touch with us. Please share with your friends. Let them know about the show. Subscribe to the show anywhere great podcasts are heard so you never miss any of our recaps or previews. The playoffs are coming, and we're going to be going right through the Super Bowl and all through the offseason with the perspective that matters, that of the fans. So with that, I leave you with Landry Jones, a backup quarterback, thus a professional fan. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.